Morning. I think the last time I was here was before the pandemic started. I was a little younger and I'm a little older. Like I said, I work at Union Gospel Mission. I've been working there for about 15 years. I see a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of sad stories, a lot of brokenness. I see it every day, every night. Anyway, I grew up here in Winnipeg. I have three sisters, two other brothers, me three. There was eight of us, lost two brothers, just lost a brother in October. I'm not too sure how he died. He was sick for a while. So, I grew up here in Winnipeg. My family lived here in Winnipeg, my mom and my dad. There was eight of us, three sisters and five boys. So what happened was my mom and dad were alcoholics. My dad was an alcoholic, my mom was an alcoholic. And so it's a lot of violence in the home, a lot of drinking, a lot of fighting, all that stuff. My dad beat up my mom. There was really nothing I can do because I was just a kid. So one day my dad walked out. He never came back. A month later, my mom left. She never came back. Left me, my two brothers, and my two sisters in a two-story house on Victor Street. Anybody? No food. So really, I know how it is to starve. So my mom never came back. So I brought all myself to phone Children's Aid and put us in foster homes. That went on for years. And I actually never saw my mom again, ever. Never saw her again. My dad came back into the picture a couple years later. I was already in a group home. Just before that, my mom died tragically. My mom died of fire. I was only 13. My mom died in a fire. That was pretty unexpected. So in order for me to kill my pain, so I turned to drugs as a teenager. Smoked pot, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Felt good for a while. That wasn't strong enough. Gotten some a little more stronger. And as I got older, life became even more difficult. Started drinking. And I got in trouble with the law. I started stealing, ripping off people. I didn't think anything of it. It's mine now. You're not getting it back, right? That's what I was. And life got so bad. I started doing this, I started doing that. I started to hurt people. People that I know. You're probably saying to yourself, well, the guy up there is a nice guy, you know. I'm standing up here, you're going to say, I'm a nice guy. You think I'd ever hurt anybody? Man, I was in and out of group homes, foster homes. From my teenage years until I was 18, yeah. I was locked up as a teenager. Man, that was rough. How many people here like watching TV? Yeah? Well, you're going to hear a funny story. I was locked up as a teenager. I first get to this place and the guy tells me, he says, well, here you just can't sit down and watch TV, you have to earn it. I said, wow, that's great. I have to earn to watch TV now. So the guy tells me, so, well, this is how you earn to watch TV. You make your bed, you fold your clothes, and sweep the floor. That's easy enough. I did it. Made my bed, folded my clothes, swept the floor. And believe it or not, the guy would come around with a clipboard with everybody's name on it. And hey, Friday night came along. I wanted to make sure I wanted to watch TV. My name was on that clipboard. So the guy says, yeah, you can sit and watch TV tonight. Saturday night comes along, I get to watch TV again, and I said, I have to do the same thing tonight. The guy comes along, watches my room, and says, yeah, you can watch TV tonight. To this day, I'm 61 years old now. Guess what I do? What do I do? Pardon me? Exactly the same thing I do. But I don't have to earn to watch TV anymore. I can just sit down and watch TV. I have nobody coming around with a clipboard telling me I have to fold my clothes or make my bed. You know, when you lose a lot of people in your life, I just lost my brother in October. My brother was 60, 1 year younger than I was. I don't know if he was saved or not. I don't know. But I'm not going to stand up here and say that he was or he wasn't. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that he's in heaven or he's in hell, because I don't know that either. Only God knows where he is. I don't. When this pandemic started, my wife told me, she said, oh, you better get, you know. I said, you know what? I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm not in charge. God's in charge. I said, if I die, I die. I know where I'm going. And she says, what? I said, if I die, I die. Don't worry about it. I go, you know. I said, I'm not in charge. Only God's in charge. You know, life is Life is so wonderful right now. Today, I've dealt with alcoholism. I've dealt with drugs. I've dealt with everything else. I've dealt with loneliness. Man, when my mom died, man, I was so lonely. I would sit in the basement for hours in Montecito. Nobody. I always said to myself, when is the pain gonna go away? When? How long do I have to live like this? Why? Why do I have to live like this? Did some time in jail. Put some stuff that I shouldn't have. Until this one night, I started out in AA. That's how I started out. I went to an AA meeting one night, and the guy talked about God. I kind of chuckled to myself and said, yeah, okay. I said, I said, God let me suffer that long out there. And I said, ain't gonna happen. Never happen. I went home. Lay on my bed and I heard the phone ring. Yeah, at the top of the stairs says, there's a phone call for you. Yeah? Yeah, and the other line says, he says, I'm starting a Christian home, want to know if you want to move in. Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll try it. Maybe a month later, God comes along with me and says, you know, tells me, he says, you know, you need Jesus. I said, no, I don't. I don't need Jesus at all. Well, I don't need Jesus. No, I don't. So I told the guy, I said, you know what? He said, listen, I said, keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. It's not my thing. But 3 weeks later, same guy came to me and said, you know, you need Jesus. I said, okay. Yeah, okay. You keep it to yourself. I don't know. Well, 2 weeks later, same guy says, oh, you know, you need Jesus. Okay, all right. And he said, well, you want to go for coffee? Yeah, I said, tell you what. I said, you know what? I said, I'll go for coffee. You don't tell me about Jesus. Fair enough. Yeah, deal? Yeah, okay, sure, no problem. I won't say nothing. Not at all. So I go for coffee with this gentleman. Get my coffee, sits down. What does he tell me? That I need Jesus. So now I'm thinking. And I say to myself, maybe this guy's right, I need Jesus. So the guy says, well, he says, all you need to do is pray and ask him, you know. I said, listen, I said, you know what? I said, I don't claim I know how to pray and I don't, you know. I said, so how do you accept Jesus if you don't know how to pray? I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, you know, I just wanted the guy to leave me alone. I didn't know how to pray. How do you accept Jesus if you don't know how to pray? And I said, I don't know how to pray. He had an answer for everything. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He says, pray. Repeat after what I say. I said, boy, this is going to be easy. Now he's going to leave me alone. So I pray what after. He says, he's going to leave. I said, just pray what after what I say. And, you know, so I said, okay. Go ahead. I'll pray whatever you say, and I'll pray right after you. So we go on about 5-10 minutes. It's over. He says, how do you feel? And I said, well, you know what? I said, I feel great. It was great. Man, you know, God freed me from everything then. Alcohol was gone, drugs were gone, smoking was gone, my pain was gone. My old friends were gone. You know, the guy led me to the Lord. I had breakfast with him about a week, this before Christmas. And I had breakfast with him a week before. He died 2 days before Christmas. He was a good friend. You know, it wasn't for him telling me about Jesus, I wouldn't be standing here today. Who knows where I'd be? In my grave? Jail? You know, I knew God loved me back then when I was out there. I knew then. I knew God loved me. He cared for me. I knew then. You know, I'm involved in a lot of things. I'm involved in prison ministry here in Winnipeg. I'm on a board for Bible for Children. As I said, I'm involved in prison ministry. I go out to speak to kids that are locked up, teenage kids and teenage girls on Keniston there. They need to hear it too, right? I remember some young guy. I think he was sitting over here. Young guy was sitting over here. Young guy. Girls were sitting on this side. Young guy sitting in the back. So I asked this young guy in front of me, I said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? You know what he told me? He said, hell. And I said, you don't have to go there. You're making a choice to go there. I said, you go to a better place. Young guy back there crying, and all of a sudden his friends look at him, all of a sudden he gets all macho and tough. Young girl crying over here. The girls turn around and look at her, and all of a sudden she gets all macho and tough. So I told the young guy, I said, you know what? I said, I understand you. I said, I understand. I said, I was the same way. I said, I understand what you say. I understand what you're going through. I understand. You want to act all macho and tough? You want to act all macho and tough? I said, I understand. I said, I was the same way before you. I was the same way as you were when I was a kid. I said, don't worry about these guys, what they're thinking. I said, you need to worry about where you're going when you die. Don't worry about those guys. Worry about you, where you're going to go when you die. I told a young kid, I said, you're crying because you stop crying because all these guys are looking at you because you're crying. And then also, yeah, you're all macho and tough. I said, I know. I said, been there, done it. I said, I may be older than you. you're just a kid. But I was a kid at one time too. I said, you know what? I said, I told this young guy, his friend, I said, you know what? I said, you're sitting here right now. You want to think you're tough because you're locked up. I said, it's none of my business why you're here. It's none of my business what to ask you why you're here or what you're here for. It's none of my business. I'm not here to tell you, I'd ask you that. I'm not here to tell you, you know, I'm not. I said, but there's only one person that loves you, and that's Jesus. Besides your mom and your dad. I said, Jesus cares for you. And Jesus cared for me when I was doing my thing. I told him, I said, God loves you, man. God loves you. I know God. You know, I love speaking. Because I love tongue, I love telling people about Jesus. That's why. Has anybody ever heard about a ministry called Ford House Ministries? Has anybody heard about that? Anybody heard about that? Yeah? Well, I lived there for 28 years. And those 28 years were long. And that's where I got saved. Well, I moved on in 2021 or something like that. Yeah, from there. It's a good ministry. Let me share a story with you. I have a sister. She's older than me, 63. My sister's had 6 heart attacks. 6. Every time she has a heart attack, comes out of it, she says, oh, I'm lucky I'm alive. One time she said, I said, you know what? I said, it's not lucky you're alive. It's not luck. I said, you've had 6 heart attacks. I said, don't you think God's trying to tell you something? I said, 6? I said, you better start listening to God, because next time, there may not be a next time. And she's 63. God loves her too. You know, I work at Union Gospel, and I talk to some people and men, and one guy told me, he said, you've never been where I've been. He said, how would you know? And I said, oh, really? He said, you've never been where I've been. I said, yeah, I've been. I've been where you've been. I said, oh, yeah, I've been where you've been. We all have our own brokenness. I know what mine was. And I, you know, I got saved in 92, October 1st. Never looked back, ever. Straight ahead. No. Never. I I've seen what God's done in my life and changed me and freed me from all the stuff I went through. There's only one story I forgot to tell. This way before I got saved. I remember walking down the street one day and met two friends carrying a case of beer. Do you want to come over for a drink? Sure, why not? We had a couple of drinks. I started to get drunk. Nobody said anything. Got up, walked over to the kitchen, opened the drawer. And believe it or not, nobody really said anything, or I was sitting there drinking, and two guys I was with didn't say a word. I walked over to the kitchen corner, opened the drawer, pulled out a big knife. I was gonna kill him. Just say that. I saved myself. Thank God I got saved. You know, all the things I've done in my life, and I worked for Walter for many years. I was still doing my thing when I was working for Walter. I wasn't saved when I was working for Walter. But I can tell you right now, there was one thing I never did to Walter. I never stole from Walter. Never. Even though I was still doing my thing, never, ever stole anything from Walter. Never. Never. Because you know why? Because I know Walter wanted to give me a chance. Oh, yeah. I could have took the skill saw. I could have took the tools. I could have. Sure, I could have. I could have. But I didn't. I didn't. Sure, I could have maybe stole this truck. Hey? Nice big red truck. Could have stole nicely. Yeah, I could have stole a nice big red truck. Huh? But I never did. Never. Never even crossed my mind. You know, I got married in 2021. I always said to myself, I'll never get married. Never. Well, here I am. She's not here. I'm here. Yeah. Somebody, I gave an illustration one time, and I forget to who, but I was out there giving an illustration. I said, if I was to take off my wedding ring, I said, does that mean I'm not married anymore? I'm still married. The same way when you accept Christ. we do something wrong, are we still Christ's children? Sure we are. Because we do something wrong, does it mean we're not God's child anymore? We are. You know what? I loved my dad, I loved my mom, I loved my brother. All my two brothers are gone. If my mom was alive today, she'd be proud of me today. But she was sitting right there. If she only knew today what my life is like. If she only knew, if she was only here. I'd walk up to say, hey, Mom, I love you, man. I love you. Glad you can be here. Dad, glad you can be here. Love you both. I don't know if you're, I don't know, you could be dealing with something today, I don't know, you're struggling with something. We struggle, I struggle. There's only one person that can heal us. It's not that guy down the street. It's not the book at the library. It's not Walter. You know? It's Jesus. Jesus healed us all from whatever. I tell my wife all the time, you know what? Jesus heals all sicknesses and diseases. You know, I don't like going to doctors. I only have one doctor. And his name is Jesus. Only one doctor. Well, I lost that question. How many people are waiting here to go to heaven? How many? Well, I can't wait. I gave an illustration one time at a mall. I was at a mall. I was with this believer. I was with this guy. He was a believer. And I said, take a look at that. I said, take a look. All these people are lined up to sit on Santa Claus's knee. So I told the guy, what if Santa Claus was on this side and then Jesus was on this side? I said, how many people think would go sit on Jesus' lap? How many people do you think would do that? I think they all go over here and sit on Santa Claus's lap. So I told the guy, I said, I don't sit on Santa Claus's lap. I said, I wouldn't go over here. I'd be going over here. I said, on Jesus' lap. And he said, well, and I asked him, I said, what about you? He said, I'd do the same. So what about you? Where would you go? And you know, I can't wait till Jesus comes back. Well, shall I close with this? When this pandemic started, I saw a lot of people in fear, scared. A lot of people said, I don't want to die. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to die. So I asked one guy, I said, hey, I said, this COVID's out there. I said, are you scared to die? Are you? Well, I said, well, then he said, well, no, I don't really want to get it. I'm asking, I said, are you scared? Is that what I'm asking? Are you scared? Well, a little bit. A little bit. And then he asked me, he said, are you scared? I said, no. Why would I be scared? Tell me, why should I be scared? He said, you're not scared? I said, no. Why would I be scared? I said, I have something more powerful than COVID. His name is Jesus. I have no reason to be scared. I said, God's in charge, not man. Man always puts fear in us, right? Man always puts fear in us and say, oh, look at this. Oh, you're all going to die. And I say to myself, Jesus is in charge. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about man. God loves us all, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Thank you.